You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time for the Mitch Henderson Show. Let's go live to the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton. Here's your host, Derek Jones.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Mitch Henderson Show right here on 920 Fox Sports Radio, The Jersey. Derek Jones and the head coach of Princeton Tigers basketball, Mitch Henderson, with you, and we will discuss in just a few moments with Coach Henderson the latest happenings with Tigers basketball. But first, as we get you set for a recap of this past weekend's action, just a quick setup here. Of course, the Tigers won by the score of 55-43 against Columbia on Friday night, and then one night later grabbing the 70-61 win over Cornell. What we'll do right now is jump to the final moments of the game against Cornell as the Tigers are trying to hold on and clinch a weekend sweep of the New York action, and we take you to a critical play in that game in overtime after a quick lead was taken by Cornell off of a three-pointer by Matt Morgan, but the Tigers had a quick answer thanks to Richmond Arirguzo. Stevens high at the right wing. Double team to the elbow in the lane. Outside for Barnes. Five to shoot. Barnes at the baseline. Down low, Arirguzo with a dunk.
What a pass. Elijah Barnes, most guys who don't play that much would have shot that.
He did not panic. 60-59. Two more for Arirguzo. And Morgan loses the ball off his knee. The sixth turnover of the night for Cornell. And that shot no good, and that will do it. The Tigers ride a career high 20 points from Richmond Arirguzo to a 70-61 win. Another overtime battle here in Ithaca. This time, it's the Tigers who come out on top. They sweep the New York trip and have grabbed control of the Ivy League for now with a 4-0 record and have won seven games in a row. An outstanding weekend for Princeton Tigers basketball, the weekend sweep. Coach, great job by the Tigers fighting through two very tough opponents. We'll start out first with Columbia before we get to the Cornell game. Certainly the Lions came in with a lot of acclaim in terms of being able to shoot the basketball effectively from three, but also being able to force the opponent into mistakes. But the Tigers were able to flip the script a little bit on Friday.
Yeah. Well, first, let me just talk about that clip. Yes. I was my wife's here tonight, and she's usually hiding when she's watching the games at the very end, so she didn't run out of the bar. But glad to be here at the A&B. But Friday night, like, Columbia makes so many long shots, and I thought we did a really good job of pressing up on the shooters, in particular Miles and Jalen. I said this right after the game too. We've had a little bit of trouble scoring, mostly because I think that the toll it's taken on us defensively playing the way that we are. But I thought the guys were really locked in on what we're supposed to do, and a lot of that comes from knowing what's behind you in Richmond. You know, like, knowing that you've got Richmond back there helping out, anchoring the defense, funneling everything to him, has given everybody just a little bit more confidence. And to get Columbia to shoot, what 2-for-18 from three, that was a key part of the focus for what we wanted to do, and that the guys were just terrific.
And the Tigers did an exceptional job in particular, as you mentioned, limiting both opponents in three-point shooting all weekend. And you mentioned Richmond Arirguzo, 7 points, 11 rebounds, and Miles Stevens, once again, strong double-double for him, 17 points and 13 rebounds. And back-to-back games, 15 points for Ryan Schwieger.
Yeah, I thought Miles had one of the best weekends I've ever seen a player have, in all my years of coaching. He was he put us on his back in every way, emotionally, physically, execution, everything. He was just terrific. But you mentioned Ryan. Ryan is – I was standing with Brian Earle on Saturday night. We're watching the women's game. It was a doubleheader. And Ryan walked by us, right in front of us. And Brian and I are talking just about whatever. And Brian goes, "Holy cow, he's huge." And that's it, right? Ryan, he's like 6'6", going on 6'8", sometimes, the way he stands up. We always say he's got the long neck, but I thought he was just fantastic with you know, keeping guys on his back. And, you know, he put us on his back, so to speak, too. Made some huge, easy baskets and creating mismatches for others. And defensively was really a key part of that.
No question. He was huge once again for the Tigers. You mentioned Miles Stevens and his double-double as well. And the Tigers, as you alluded to, the offense, 55 points. But defensively, at the end of the day, in order to win the Ivy League, whether it's the regular season or into the postseason now with the tournament, the defense has got to be able to deliver, and the Tigers have been able to do that.
Yeah, you know, this was our issue a year ago, Derek. You know, we were not able to get the stops that we needed in key points of the game. And I don't think any of the games that we've played in the league have been that pretty. But one thing that's been consistent is the resolve of the group defensively. And it starts with the seniors, not just the guys that you see on the floor, but Noah and Elias have been a big part of it, you know, relaying the messages. I really think the leadership of the group has been very good. And then, of course, Miles and Richmond, you know, are – I single them out only because every single game, there's every practice, every time we're talking about something, I stop talking, and then they are relaying the messages nonstop to the guys, and I think that's a sign of a really locked-in group.
And that's pretty impressive, especially this time of year when communication is so key. And what a difference a year makes for the Tigers, as Coach just alluded to. Last year, when the Tigers went to Columbia, they gave up 85 points, and then this year, just 43 for the Lions. That's an impressive turnaround.
Yeah, that was a nightmare scenario a year ago. I was walking onto the floor for the Columbia game a year ago after we pulled in at like 5:30 a.m. Nobody cares in the league when you arrive. But Jim Ingles shook my hand and he goes, man, I don't want to stand too close to you. There might be a piano that falls on both of us. And, you know, it's a lot of what goes on in the league is based on how you're doing in the mental approach. And you know, I don't even want to go back down the path with a year ago, because it's the work that's what's showing up right now is a testament to the leadership of the team and what's been going on from within. And, you know, it's a long trip. You were with us.
Yeah.
You pull in at three in the morning in Ithaca, and then you're expected to perform, right? You know, I was so proud of the team on the weekend.
Absolutely. Another strong job by the Tigers in New York City on Friday night. And then one night later, 70-61 win against the Cornell Big Red and the aforementioned Brian Earl. Another overtime game for the Tigers against Cornell. The last two times now, those games have gone to OT. This one, the Tigers had a double-figure lead. The injury to Jalen Llewellyn. First, what can you tell us about how he's feeling?
Well, we're hopeful that he recovers quickly. You know, he's had a couple ankle issues throughout the course of the season, but you know, he is a quick healer, and you know, we need him. You know, he provides so much for us. You know, I see so much improvement. Maybe his numbers don't show it as directly as what I'm seeing, but you know, he's making every single game. He's making big progress for us, so we really need him. But the young man that you're going to hear from tonight, Jose, I thought he played a pivotal role for us. I was, after the game, you know, we really wanted the ball to go to Miles inside. And, you know, Jose ended up taking that last shot. Miles ended up getting it. But, you know, I was giving Jose a hard time. I was like, you know what, you got to know that. You know, you got to know that inside. But he took a huge charge for us. And, yeah, that's what I like about this group. Jalen goes down and you got guys that can step up.
Absolutely, and the Tigers, led by Richmond Ariri Guzzo, tying the career high in scoring, 20 points. He also had 20 points against Penn earlier this season, 6 of 6 from the field. It just seems like over the years there, that game, it gets harder and harder as the game gets longer, and many of the Tigers were able to answer the challenge later on.
Anybody that's played at Princeton, I mean, I think anywhere in the league knows that this is the toughest road trip. You know, because you've got the longest time in between the games. You basically leave Princeton at 2:30 p.m., 3 p.m. You play a game, and then you're arriving at 3 a.m. in Ithaca. You know, it's a guts. It's all guts on Saturday night. And, you know, I think it's interesting that, you know, Saturday night we can talk about Miles' performance, Ryan, Jose taking a huge charge, Jerome making some threes, and Richmond, there he is again, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's consistent now, and, you know, he's been terrific. I always say this, but, like, and you know, couldn't happen literally to a better human being on the earth. He just he's earned every bit of it. I'm so proud of him.
And it's been really cool to see how happy the teammates are for his success, which is always
He got his braces off this summer, and now he's smiling a lot more. The other day he was running, like we were just doing a running drill. We call them man twos. We do them all the time. We've always done them with Kirill, and they're terrific. It's almost like a 5-on-0 press break. And he's running right in front of the bench, and he goes, meow, as he's running right by everybody. And, like, the personality's coming out, and, oh, it's terrific. And, you know, he's everyone wants to get to know Richmond a little bit better.
Absolutely, and he's done a fantastic job for the Tigers. And it's funny, you look at this box score of the game, and you see Matt Morgan, and you just look at the raw number, 7 of 14 for 16 points. But it was not that easy, and some of that stuff came very early on in the game. He hit his first three shots, and then the Tigers were able to hold him in check from that point on.
Well, you know, anybody that watched the game knows that Miles was on him. And, you know, I told Miles after the game, like, I kind of, you know, I looked him right in the eyes. I thought it was one of the most impressive performances I've ever seen. Morgan's a really hard guard. He changes speed so well. He's obviously the key to the team. He's averaging, you know, he's going to go down as the second all-time leading scorer in the history of the Ivy League potentially. And, you know, you might look at that and say, oh, he still had 16, but, you know, you don't – the six turnovers. And I thought he was a non-factor in the game. Now, there are other parts of the game where, you know, he obviously – because we have to gear towards what we're doing, but I thought Miles made everything hard. He was completely locked in. I just thought it was one of the most impressive weekends I've ever seen from a Princeton basketball player.
And one of the other key factors about that performance is when you put the pressure on him, that obviously puts the pressure on the other guys for Cornell to come up with big plays. And at times they were able to, but over the course of 45 minutes, it was tougher and tougher for them to do.
Yeah, and, you know, they were Ryan does such a good job, and, you know, we had a lead, and Jalen goes down, and we're, you know, Jose's in a little bit of foul trouble. And, you know, this is what it's about, right? Like, there's, you know, every single guy that I've recruited thinks they're a point guard, you know, but we were down to like one real guard here with Jose. And and then the crowd starts getting into the game, and it's Saturday night, and, you know, you could easily just say, you know what, it's not that important. But to go into another overtime game after playing the game that we had there a year ago, and just score. I thought the first possession overtime was a huge possession. We got Richmond. He made both free throws. And then I think I'm not sure how many free throws we made in overtime, but I think we might have made 10. And that was a key part of it, what we were trying to accomplish.
10 of 14 from the line in overtime. Mm-hmm. And the Tigers, they only had to make two field goals in overtime, and you were able to still take care of business at the free throw line for the win.
And a large part of that was Jose again. And, you know, overtime games, we were on the wrong side of a bunch of them a year ago, and now we've played two in the league out of four games. And, you know, I think I said to the guys during multiple timeouts, this is good for us. We have to learn how to do this. And people are going to go down at Cornell. It's a really hard place to win, and they do a really good job there. And they're a team, and I think that's a heck of a weekend.
Absolutely, and we will discuss more about the weekend and also this coming weekend for Tigers basketball, Yale and Brown. This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on 920 Fox Sports Radio, The Jersey. Stay tuned. We will have more headed your way from the Alchemist and Barrister right after this.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. Derek Jones and the head coach of Princeton Tigers basketball, Mitch Henderson, with you on the Mitch Henderson Show as we recap an action-packed weekend of Tigers basketball. And now we turn kind of the page here to Yale and Brown this weekend, Coach, and I think one of the interesting things about the league, as always now with the tournament in play, is the fact that there's no safety point at any point to me at this juncture of the year, because you're still fighting for positioning. But whenever you can grab wins on the road, it's huge, and now another road test this weekend.
Yeah, big stretch here. You know, when the schedule first came out, you're looking at five in a row on the road, and You say, right, the first thing that goes through your head, you circle a few games. And no, not that we were ever overlooking Cornell and Columbia, but this game, at you know, this weekend, Yale-Brown, you know, I think they're both playing just terrific. And, you know, we were very fortunate this last weekend to get two on the road. And I think that's what you do when you're in the league. Those are the people that get it done on the road tend to get it done overall. So huge challenges ahead for us. The guys are aware of it. We've had good preparation so far. And part of it's just getting back on our feet. We started school again. You know, we got back at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning, so you're just trying to get some rest and hit the week the right way. We leave, you know, we'll be on the road again here in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. And a part of that is dealing with the Yale team that is – they're tough anywhere you play them, but they've been especially tough over the years against the Tigers in their building. What makes them in their building tougher to deal with?
Well, they have really good players. They're really well coached. I just think you have to be completely on your game to be successful there, and you've got to do the extra little things. I don't think you can just, you know, we had 18 turnovers on Saturday night. That's not cutting it at Yale. You know, we've got to be sharper. The guys know that. They're aware of it. But I think most games, and in particular games like the one on Friday, come down to a few plays. And, you know, they've been playing really well. I think they're really good. And they've got senior guards. They've got Oni, who can really score. They've got good bigs. The kid Blake Reynolds, I think, is one of the best role players. And I don't even think he's a role player, but he plays a really important role for their program and for their team. I think he's just terrific. So we have a huge challenge ahead.
And you mentioned Blake Reynolds. They have guys there that kind of watched as the team was going through their runs towards an Ivy League title. And now, once again, with another opportunity, certainly one of the key guys there, Mie Ioni, as you just alluded to. What challenges does he present?
Well, you know, we played pretty much every single guy that we're going to see on Friday night played against us in our championship game 2 years ago. So these guys have experience. Oni is, you know, a very talented scorer. He's obviously, you know, been through the league a bunch, so he understands things. He had a huge weekend up at Dartmouth this last weekend. You know, what he does so well is he seems to change speeds very nicely and doesn't seem to be rushed on offense, which I think is the mark of a good player. You kind of just feel it and know it. He demands a lot of attention. And I think that's the key for all good young players is to learn how to slow down but still play fast, if that makes sense. So, you know, he's a challenge, but Copeland, Phils are equally good. And Copeland's one of the fastest guys in the league. And then, you know, Bruner and Reynolds. I mean, this is a really good team, a really well-balanced team.
And a team that likes to play up-tempo. They like that high-scoring style a little bit. This has been, it seems like, a little bit more of a home-and-home series, more so than some of the other run-throughs in the Ivy League. Certainly the Tigers have had an opportunity to play very well on the road as of late. Defensively, it's been interesting to watch this team. How different is Yale versus some of the other teams that you've played from the offensive perspective?
Well, they're very different. Both teams this weekend are very different than what we've been seeing, which is really kind of what I would call four-round-one, you know, Penn, Cornell, Columbia, four-round-one, a little bit closer to what our style and potentially what, you know, what we're used to. But Yale plays with two bigs, and then Brown plays, you know, a version that's, I mean, they're super athletic and fast. So we really struggled guarding Yale 2 years ago, last year. At times they were just, it was so fast how fast they were moving through some of their actions. So I think it's, we're going to have our hands full, and you know, Sky's got the scout, and I know he's working hard at it. And I always say this, and Coach Krull, this is one of his lines, they got to guard you too. So we have to provide some stuff for them to think about with us.
Brown a night later, Desmond Cambridge, the Tigers were able to frustrate him the second time around. What have you seen out of them so far this year?
Well, they're a much improved defensive team. But Mike's doing such a good job. They're flying around all over the place defensively. causing havoc. Cambridge has not made a lot of shots lately, but we all know he's a great shot maker and makes tough ones. And, you know, I tell everybody his one performance at Javelin last year was just incredible. And we know he's capable of that. They thrive on your turnovers, so you've got to value the ball. But I've been really impressed. I think they look really good to me. And, you know, the teams that are – the records right now to me don't matter at all. I think everything's up for grabs. I really do. I think, you know, whoever's playing best each week and recovering the best and mentally preparing themselves to, you know, not worry about the last weekend, because I just think the talent level and the experience, what I'm seeing when I watch the games, there's no quit. The Dartmouth-Brown game at Dartmouth was an incredible game. Came down to a couple possessions. So we know Saturday night we're going to have our hands full.
It's been interesting to watch the league because, kind of as you alluded to, the records, they're all over the place in some degree right now because of the home-and-home series. But when you look at it, it's kind of difficult to gauge what's what, because it looks like everybody has been pretty much ready to roll on a nightly basis, and everyone's made their runs at times.
Yeah, that's your job, Derek, not mine. You know, I think we go into the weekends, you know, and I always say this, you go into the Friday night game ready to play against the Friday night team, and that's the only thing that matters.
Right.
Win or lose, the first comment on Saturday or Friday night right after the game is like, we got to get tonight. We got to get tomorrow night, you know. And you transition and you know, you hit the weekend with the plan, right? And then, like, each game, you know, like they've got a plan too. Don't forget about that. They've been scouting us really hard as well. So, oh man, it's I was just saying, my wife, like, she avoids the you know, watching some of these games, or she watches through her fingers sometimes. But I can tell you, it's a fun challenge.
And now the Tigers will get set for Yale and Brown. Coach, before we let you get out of here, I wanted to ask you about something you brought up last weekend in our discussions, and that was the 2-0 mentality. How important is that to bring on the road with you each weekend?
I think it's pivotal. You know, I always tell the guys, we're preparing you to win the games. You know, we wouldn't – like if we're working on something that might seem a little trivial, and this is what happens when you've got younger guys, freshmen, sophomores sometimes don't always get it, but I think our group's really maturing fast. You say, listen, you got to really concentrate here. And this group is listening. And because the message is, I'm preparing you to win. Like, this is going to matter what we're talking about right now, whether it's a ball screen defensive coverage or how we might handle something that they're doing defensively versus what, you know, what we might see. And then be prepared for plan B. The focus going into the league is, to the weekend is, what's he talking about? No way. Okay, yes, we will do that. And, you know, then you're not worried about anything else other than getting the win. And, you know, like we talk about – I want to go back to a point I made earlier. I've got a group that's reiterating the messages from the coaching staff on their own. And I cannot tell you, the power of a positive locker room is everything.
The Tigers will bring that message and the 4-0 record into Ivy Play this weekend against Yale and Brown. Coach, thanks for joining us once again.
Great, Derek. Thanks a lot. And love being here at A&B. What a good crowd tonight.
Yeah, fantastic crowd here once again at the A&B in downtown Princeton. We will have more in just a few moments as we are joined by two very special guests right here on the Mitch Henderson Show on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. Stay tuned.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. It is the Mitch Henderson Show. The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. We are honored to welcome in two very special guests here as a part of the Princeton basketball team, Jose Morales and Elijah Barnes. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And we just talked about this past weekend with Coach Henderson, and, you know, it's so impressive to see the Tigers be able to play tough on the road and be able to play tough overall, especially during this winning streak. What's made the difference, in your opinion, over the last month plus here for the Tigers?
I mean, I think it's just locking in, knowing what we got to do to get a win, paying attention to the scout, just bringing energy to every game and making all the plays. I mean, we're down a couple guys, but we have that next man up mentality, so we're ready to go at any time.
Yeah, I think it was mostly defense, locking in every possession. Even though we're having trouble scoring, it's just locking up defensively.
Elijah, one of the most impressive parts of this Princeton team in particular has been the play of the bench and the ability of a lot of guys to come in when called upon to deliver key moments, whether it's stops, buckets. What is it about the bench that's been able to really help add a lot of resolve to this team?
I don't really think we think of it as a bench or starter mentality. We're all part of the team, so whenever we're called upon, we're ready to play.
Jose, how about from your end?
Yeah, like Barnes said, man, everybody's always ready to roll. And you can see it in practice as well. I mean, we mix it up in practice. Everybody's going at each other, so there's no real bench and starter mentality. It's just everybody's a basketball player.
I want to jump forward to Saturday night against Cornell because you both played a pivotal role in that contest in particular. When we take a look, Jose, at the end of regulation, what did you see there on that final sequence? Because of the injury to Jalen Llewellyn, you had to come in and really kind of help facilitate things offensively.
Yeah, so like Coach Henderson said earlier, it was a play set 4 miles to get the ball. But I mean, I saw a lane. I knew they would probably be keying in on Miles. I saw a lane. I tried to make a play. Came up just a little bit short, but then, of course, you have Miles coming in trying to clean it up, so... it didn't go in, but overtime came by and we locked in.
Elijah, now in overtime, we played the clip earlier. The really one of the pivotal moments of that game was when the Tigers fell behind in overtime. You had that big play where you kind of helped set up Richmond Ariri Guzzo for that dunk that gave the Tigers a lead they did not relinquish. What did you see on that one?
I mean, it was just a broken play. I caught it, took one dribble, thought I was going to shoot it. Two people came to me, Rich and I made eye contact. And he put his hands up, so I was just hoping he caught it and he made the play.
You have to fight the temptation in that spot to shoot it sometimes because I believe the shot clock was right around 5 seconds or something.
Yeah,
something
close.
Like that.
Yeah, but I just put my trust in the big man. He's who we're riding, so.
So Richmond Ariri Guzzo with that bucket put the Tigers up. And right after that, Matt Morgan turns it over, and the Tigers really held possession and control of the game from that point on. Jose, I was talking to Coach off the air about one important sequence that was actually extended for a while was the fact that you picked up 4 fouls and you guys managed to play around that for an extended period of time against a team where their central player essentially is a guard. Yeah. How difficult was it to do that?
I mean, I think for a little bit, for a while, we kind of ran a little offense-defense type things, actually subbing me and Barnes in, mm-hmm. Exchanging offense and defensive possessions, but yeah, it was tough. I mean, trying to stay out of foul trouble, I like to get my hands in there a little bit, right? So trying to fight the urge to stick my hand in some plays, but just making some plays.
Your ability to stick your hands in there and make big steals and big plays, where does that come from and where did you develop that in high school?
I don't know. It's just something I've always done. I've always been a little, pretty quick. So getting in and out is positions and jumping passing lanes and things like that is something I've always been able to do pretty well. And it's something I like to do a lot, too. So I like to take a couple gambles, which he's not a big – Coach isn't a big fan of, but I've kind of learned how to pick and choose my spots with that.
Certainly this weekend, you take a look now at what's to come, a big-time road test again with Yale and Brown. How do you guys assess the Bulldogs as you look forward to them? It's a club you're obviously pretty familiar with.
Another 2 games where we're going to rely heavily on our defense, right? It's kind of what we've been leaning on up until now, and it's going to be the same kind of same deal. Sit down, guard, help each other out, recover for each other, and on the offensive end, we're going to try and pick that up a little bit. It's a big focus for us this week on in practice, but 2 really good teams and 2 games we're looking forward to.
Elijah, how important is it, especially in a game like this coming up on Friday where you're playing against either big guards or forwards who can score, how important is it to establish kind of that physical toughness and presence down low?
I think you have to set the tone from the start. I mean, with me, Aoni, and Bruno, they're just 2 big physical forces inside, and you just want to basically almost kind of hit them from the start and not let them get off early, because you give them that confidence, then they're going to soar through the whole game. So establishing that presence with me, Jerome, Miles especially, locking up their key players is a big deal.
Meanwhile, night later, Brown, who has one of the, one of the most dangerous guys in the Ivy League, in Desmond Cambridge. What do you see out of Brown?
Another team that can put the ball in the hole. Once again, defensively is going to be big for us, but defending as a team is going to be big, especially on a guy like Cambridge who can put him up when he's hot, right? So, I mean, one guy alone can't really handle that. So it's going to be playing as a team defensively and making him play in crowds and getting him off the line and things like that.
The defense has played at a really high level. Obviously, talent is a big part of that, but also how big of a role does communication play in what you need to do?
I think it's huge. We can't really guard anyone if we're not talking to each other and being vocal on the floor. So giving out little calls and just basically guiding other players what they can't see off screens and helping Miles guard the best player on the other team is really pivotal to what we're trying to do.
Jose, you've seen an increase in your role this season. What's it been like getting in the mix and being able to really contribute in some key moments for the team?
I mean, it's been great. Of course, my first 2 years, you know, didn't play as much. And now having this role, I understand what it takes to win. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach always says, like, young guys just don't know. And you don't know what you don't know. So as a young kid, like, I thought I knew. I mean, I had no idea. Now being a junior and being around the league for a little bit and playing and being in these big moments, like, there's just certain little things that you don't know. And we're all growing together and we're learning those things.
What did you learn from the adversity that you battled throughout last year? You certainly had to fight through some injuries, and you've been able to fight through injuries this year as well. Where do you get that toughness from?
I mean, that's, I want to say my mom and dad, man. Just like, you know, like, you're not hurt, you know, yeah. You just get out there and do what you got to do. So, yeah, I mean, broke my foot last year. This year I have the shoulder injury or whatever, but just doing whatever I can for my team whenever I'm needed. So,
Elijah, for you, we have seen your progression throughout this season. Noah Savage has commented throughout the year about whenever you come in the game, he's like, this guy is a physical, big presence. It's athletic. And we've seen flashes of that throughout the season. You've had some key plays during the year. You had a run in Arizona State where you grabbed some key rebounds. What have you seen out of your year this year?
I think it's just big and stepping up on the defensive level and just knowing my role. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win. And just if that's defending their best player or their inside presence and just bring some energy off the bench, that's really what all it takes to win a game. So,
you guys have been road warriors this year. You've played in some exciting games on the road and been able to come away with W's. What is it about this team that's been able to really be collectively a strong unit on the road?
I mean, that's the thing. Like you said, we've been in some big gyms. We've been at Madison Square Garden. We've been at Duke. So when you're in those environments, especially playing St. John's at Madison Square Garden or Duke at Duke, it's you against everybody else, right? So that kind of just brings the team together. And we know however tough the moment is, we can lean on each other. We know we have a next man up, whoever we behind us. So we trust each other. That's what it is. It's trust.
Elijah, there have been a lot of, as Jose alluded to, a lot of cool moments in different buildings throughout this year. Any one in particular stand out to you as a favorite?
I think just the run at the end of the Arizona State game. Mm-hmm. It was just locking them up on their home floor. The gym's going crazy. Everybody's on their feet, and you knowing that you're getting key stops and silencing the crowd is really, like, my favorite part of the season so far.
One of the biggest moments of the Princeton season so far. Hopefully it has plenty more to come. When we come back, we'll have more with Jose Morales and Elijah Barnes as we take a look at the Ivy League and a whole lot more. And I think we're going to talk about LeBron James, too, coming up in just a little bit. This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Sports Radio, 920 The Jersey. More after this.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back here at the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton, New Jersey, it's the Mitch Henderson Show right here on 920 Fox Sports Radio The Jersey as we bring you an inside look at Princeton Tigers basketball. We are joined by Jose Morales and Elijah Barnes as we take a look at Tigers basketball. And guys, the Ivy League has been very tough this season. We're in the early stages. what's it like being out to a 4-0 start after all the adversity of a year ago?
4-0 is huge for us, man. I mean, just being able to win two on the road, especially, just makes you feel good about yourself, you know, going into another road weekend this week. So having the confidence to know that we can win on the road and we can win some tough games, close games, of course, with the overtime win at Cornell.
I'm sure you'll be very happy to get back home and play in Jadwin, play some games in Jadwin in the next week or so.
For sure.
Yeah, I think winning those two games against Penn really set the tone for our season. I mean, defending champs, taking them out right away, gave us like a newfound confidence that we didn't have a year ago. So just a great feeling for the rest of the season.
One thing that's always interested me from your perspective is the ability to be able to manage the academics and also the athletics, especially when you go through these back-to-back road swings. Coach Henderson hit on it a little while ago. The Columbia-Cornell swing is very difficult because you have the late arrival time either way coming back. How difficult is that to balance kind of the academic side with the athletics as well?
I mean, it's all about preparation, I think. Making sure you have everything lined up for when that weekend time comes. You know, have your basketball stuff ready to go, have your school stuff ready to go. It's all about preparation and being on top of stuff, for me at least.
Yeah, just handling yourself Monday through Thursday, talking to professors, making sure everything's squared away before you even hit the road is just the biggest part of it.
Now, before we let you guys get out of here, I heard through the grapevine that a hot-button topic issue with the team is LeBron James versus Michael Jordan. Now, I guess we will get into it at some point, but LeBron James, that is your favorite player, correct?
Yeah, it's my favorite player.
Okay, just explain why. I would be interested to hear.
Uh-oh.
I mean, 6'9", 250, okay. Play all five positions, could have been the best scorer of all time if he wanted to. Top fives, going to be top fives, going eventually going to be top scorer in the league all-time history. Been to the finals past 8 years on numerous teams. Every team he leaves doesn't make the playoffs, but every team he goes to makes the finals that year. Tick. Arguably the worst two teams ever in the finals by himself, basically.
How do you feel about Anthony Davis maybe joining LeBron?
I think it would be amazing, but I don't think we're going to see it until this summer. Because
you don't think they're going to do it?
From what I'm reading on Twitter, I mean, it looks like.
And he's reading a lot now.
Yeah, I've been doing
he's
my research.
He's up to date with his LeBron James now.
Pelicans just asked for 8 picks, and I think Magic just pulled out of all trade discussions. So
that's a lot of picks. Eight picks is a lot of picks.
They already offered like 8 players. So
is that the influence behind the number?
I mean, I don't know.
Well, so we had Ryan Schwieger on, and we were talking to him about LeBron versus MJ, and he's a North Carolina guy.
Uh-oh.
So he's going to support Michael Jordan. What is it? So if you're arguing pro-LeBron in the LeBron versus MJ argument, what is the pro-LeBron side?
Well, me and Ryan are on-the-road roommates, so we argue about this pretty much every night, every day, on the plane.
On the bus.
On the
everywhere.
Court.
Everywhere.
So the argument for LeBron is when Jordan retired after the Bulls won their first 3 rings,
yeah.
Scottie Pippen took the Bulls to only 2 less wins in a season.
Oh, yes. That's
and
true.
And when LeBron left the Cavs, or even the Heat, they went from being a playoff a finals team to not making the playoffs. And then when he left the Cavs the first time, they ended up being the worst team in the league and had the franchise worst losing record.
Mm.
And LeBron is a better passer, rebounder,
yes.
And makes worse players around him better.
Listen, he can go for days. I don't know if this is what you want.
I'm looking at him. He's got a lot of conviction in his voice as he's explaining this. So he's not just riffing.
He knows his stuff,
he knows
and he feels
stuff.
Very passionate about it.
Yeah, I know my stuff.
Well, it's a fair point about Scottie Pippen. I'm a Jordan guy, but it's a fair point about Scottie Pippen because that season they lost Game 7 of the Conference Finals, I believe, or Conference Semifinals, and that was a very disputed game and series in terms of officiating. A lot of people felt like the Bulls should have won that series, and maybe they would have gone back to the NBA Finals without Michael Jordan.
I mean, Scottie Pippen is one of the most underrated players I think.
Yeah.
And just him being only considered as a Robin to Michael Jordan's Batman is, I think, crazy because LeBron in that era is, I think, similar to Scottie Pippen. They have similar skill set, except LeBron's almost more of like the alpha male and takes over more. But in the era that we're in now, LeBron is nothing like we've ever seen in basketball ever. So over going to be over 20 years. He might even play with his son.
I think the
longevity of his career is unmatched.
Jose, where do you come in on this?
I don't. I let them take care of that, and I just kind of sit in the back and, you know, I like to, I mean, LeBron, different time, different style of basketball than Jordan. So I think they're just two completely different things. I don't even let the conversation start with me. I don't argue that.
He knows the real answer.
Listen, I don't know.
Well, it's a very interesting and compelling argument going. How long do you think he's going to play? Do you think he's just holding out for?
I think he's
his
got
son, right?
a good. I think he's got another at least good to decent 3 years left in him.
Right.
But the way he takes care of his body, you never know. He could play until his
not four, not five. Yeah. I'm a Miami guy, so I remember.
Oh yes, of course.
He's still got the same athleticism as he always did now, and he's, what, 34 years old. So we've never seen anybody last this long, so we don't know what to expect. So I hope it's a long time.
He is one of a kind. And guys, before we close things out here, what are some keys for the Tigers this weekend against Yale and Brown?
First thing I would say is our defense. We got to keep it up just like we have all season, locking up defensively, staying locked in, knowing the scouting report, and just playing together as a team and next man up mentality.
Yeah, similar. Defensively, just got to come be prepared. They're very talented teams individually and as a team, but that's why we need to be able to defend as a team. And offensively, like I said before, you know, we're working on it. We're going to get better there. We're growing together, and if we can do that, we'll be okay.
Jose Morales and Elijah Barnes, gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on the Mitch Henderson Show.
Thank you for having us.
We will have more in just a moment, but a reminder first, The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host The Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A and B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game, and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. We'll take one final break, and then when we come back, we will close things out right here as a part of the Mitch Henderson Show. This is Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. More headed your way from the Alchemist and Barrister. Stay tuned.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. As we begin to close things out here on this week's edition of the Mitch Henderson Show, a reminder, you can check us out every Tuesday night for the latest on Princeton Tigers basketball. Stop in the A and B all day, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game, and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. Special thanks to Jose Morales and Elijah Barnes, and of course the head coach of Princeton Tigers basketball, Mitch Henderson, for joining us this evening on the Mitch Henderson Show. And you know, it is very interesting watching this team over the last month and a half. And I remember sitting there in Cameron Indoor Stadium as the Tigers took on Duke and had really a hard time, and I'm not sure, even if at that point after the game the following Friday night against Lafayette where the Tigers were able to scratch out a close two-point win, I'm not sure if you're watching that team, you had the feeling they were setting up to go on a huge run where they would win, at least for now, seven games in a row. But it has been an impressive streak for the Tigers, and one that has catapulted them into first place in the Ivy League. Now, look, I'm not suggesting by any stretch that this is a lock in terms of the Tigers getting to the top four section that will allow them to get to the Ivy League tournament. However, they're 4-0, having played a majority of the road schedule after what takes place this weekend. And, you know, if you can scratch out at least one win, grab two wins, that would be outstanding. I mean, it's looking good for the Tigers if they can get out of this weekend in good shape. Now, the rest of the league is very tough, as we talked about. You have Penn, Brown, Dartmouth, and Columbia all 1-3. After watching most of those teams, having a chance to see Penn and Columbia live and in person, you know, those aren't necessarily 1-3 teams. I think it will be very interesting to see how the league plays out from this point on. It's a league that is very deep right now. Harvard, after getting shocked by Dartmouth to start up the year, they look shaky, but they have now reeled off three straight wins. They crushed Yale last Friday night. Yale started out in a good standing because they swept the home-and-home series against Brown. They lose on the road at Harvard last Friday night, then they come back and then defeat Dartmouth easily. So the league is very up and down in terms of momentum swings, at least from the non-Tigers department. But it shows you just how strong this league is. I'm not sure what we're going to see this time at the end of February, but it will be quite a run for this league, and it's shaping up to be really another strong race into Ivy Madness. And you have to feel good, I think, if you're a Tigers fan moving forward. Obviously, there's a concern about the depth at guard right now if Jalen Llewellyn can't come back and play right away, which, as Coach Henderson said, they hope to have him back very soon. If they do, then that obviously gives him a little bit more pliability in terms of what they can do in the lineup. If not, Jose Morales showed Saturday he can help the Tigers carry the load. It has been a fun time here from the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton, New Jersey. Again, the Tigers take on Yale and Brown this weekend. Up first, it'll be the Yale Bulldogs this Friday night in New Haven, Connecticut, as the Tigers take on the Bulldogs at 7 p.m. Then one night later, it will be Princeton versus Brown with a start time of 6. This, of course, a big road swing for the Tigers as they get set to go back home. For Al Brooks, I'm Derek Jones, and also thanks for joining us to Jose Morales, Mitch Henderson, and Elijah Barnes as well. The clip you heard earlier, courtesy of Learfield IMG College. Until next week at 6 on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey.